And thank you for that water, gentlemen. House rules. Have you ever gone someplace? We made mention this morning and they said, these are the house rules. I think of just two instances in my own life that come to mind as I was preparing this message. As many of you know, I had the privilege to go in many times into prison and play softball in prison. And I tell you, it is a privilege to play this game that my dad taught me when I was a kid, amen. And then to go in and to play, and you go into a facility of 1,500 to 2,000 men, I want to tell you, they can put a pretty good 10 on the field, amen. And playing against these guys, and we would walk in, and every time it was different. It would be, these are the house rules. Sometimes folks play softball. Brother Hauser knows, amen. He's been in several times where you pitch, and normally in a normal league, it has to hit behind the plate to be a strike. But in prison, house rules said it can hit any part of the plate. It can hit the mat. And house rules were, hey, normal foot is about 12 feet. These guys were throwing it about 15 feet and just nicking the plate, amen. They knew how to play the house rules, amen. I think of another time when we were kids. We used to play a grand old game called wiffle ball. Love wiffle ball. I can still play wiffle ball. You wouldn't believe it. I can make that thing curve and rise up and do all this stuff. Amen. But we used to play at a different, we'd go down and play in one kid's yard and they'd say, hey, the house rules here is if it hits the tree, it's a home run. And you'd be under the tree going like this, trying to catch it. Amen. If it hit the tree. And another one was house rules is if you hit this post, it's a home run. And had all these little quirky things. Amen. Hey, by the way, the best house rules you'll ever find are in the Bible. As for me and my, we will serve the Lord. How about when God said about Abraham, for I know him that he will command his house after him in Genesis 18, 19. I think about how Jesus said to us, the thief is not come but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Did you know Jesus wants you to live the abundant Christian life? He doesn't want you to live in the doldrums. Amen? He doesn't want you to live down in the dumps or in the mopes all the time. He wants you to live the abundant Christian life. Here, as we look at the beginning of this psalm, we find that it's a psalm of David, and it's later in his life. You know, David lived a full life. You think about it. When David went to slay, or when David went to bring his brothers food, as they were sitting there and Goliath was out there cussing God and cursing the armies of God, David, as a young shepherd, had already slain a lion and a bear. Listen, if there's a teenager here that you've slain a lion or a bear, you have my utmost respect. Amen. Because those are not easy creatures to deal with, amen. And he was a shepherd, and of course, we know later on, God would anoint him to be king. God would reject Saul, amen. And David would, of course, spend some time in the palace, and he spent a lot of his life on the run. He really lived a full life. He really, really did. Can we say this about David and living a full life? He made many mistakes. It is a very interesting study, Brother McGee, to study the mistakes of David versus the mistakes of Saul. I want to tell you something. To the human eye, we look at Saul and we say, you know what? Saul's mistakes weren't nearly as bad as David's. Saul's sins of partial obedience, of perhaps not following God all the way, are way, way less than David's sins of adultery, murder, covering it up, amen. But I'm going to tell you what, you find that there's one key difference between Saul and David. Saul never learned to repent. But David, he made a mistake, and he didn't make it again. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, whoso covereth sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy, God says. That's our God. Amen. And so David has, he's lived a full life. He's made many mistakes. And can we say this? Young people, listen to me. Many of the terrible, terrible experiences in David's life were nothing more than consequences of poor decisions. Amen. Seniors, amen. They were nothing more than consequences of poor decisions. You think of what he did, how he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he came back and had Uriah killed, and Nathan pointed his finger at him, said, "Thou art the man," and he said, "You're going to restore fourfold," and then what happened? His family went to pot. Why? What happened? Remember, his son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar, and his son Absalom drove him from the throne. Why was that? I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can choose whether or not to sin. God gives us a free will, but you cannot choose the consequences. Once you push the snowball down the hill, you can't get in front of it and roll it back up. So make careful choices, amen. So here's David later in his life, and he's lived his life. He's made mistakes. He's paid the consequences. He's learned his lesson. And now he's saying this, "Hey, listen, I want to give you some house rules for life." Young people, don't ever look at somebody that's older than you, that's trying to keep you from making a mistake, and think, "Well, what do they know?" That has to be the dumbest philosophy ever given amongst teenagers. You know why? Because they have been teenagers before. They've been in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and they have made mistakes and learned lessons the hard way that they don't want you to have to learn. Amen? How many of us learn? You don't have to say amen. How many of us learn that the servant or the borrower is servant to the lender? How many of us learned that biblical principle? How many of you'd be glad if your children never had to learn that? Amen. I think of other things. Hard lessons are best learned from other people. Amen. Learn from others. And so David really, he gives us here what I would call four house rules for life. Four house rules. Four rules that could help you to have a happy home. And as I mentioned this morning, I don't really know anybody that says, I'd like a miserable home. You know, now that I think about it, I really want a terrible home. No, each one of us would like to have that abundant life that Jesus gave. Each one of us would like to have that happy home, that happy Christian disposition, that happy church family, amen, where you just couldn't wait to come into the house of God. What do we need to do? Well, there's four things I believe our text tells us. First of all, in Psalm 101, verse 1, we see the first one. First house rule. Happy home, happy life, happy church is, he says right there, Psalm 101, 1, "I will sing." First thing, if you're gonna have a happy home, you're gonna have a happy house rules. Number one, I will sing. I will sing. Amen. You, and the Bible says there, it says, "I will sing of mercy," amen, "and of judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing." Listen, you show me a happy Christian, I'll show you someone who sings. Listen, that doesn't mean you can sing well. Amen. What I mean is there's a song in your heart. And I've learned this, whatever's in your heart will come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I'm going to tell you, if there's a song in your heart, if you've got Jesus on your mind, amen, the fact that He saved you, amen, He redeemed you, hey, it may break out and you may say, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." You may be walking around your house, by the way. I know there's some great shower singers in here, amen. As long as you're singing the songs of God, hey, if you're going to have a happy home, it's going to be because you sing. We got something to sing about, folks. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I had a brother tell me recently he is doing his best to memorize the hymns. He said, "You know why? When they come for the Bibles, you know what else they're going to come for? the hymnals. Hey, boy, that's some advice. I got to thinking about some of the hymns we sing in here. I mentioned this one. I'm satisfied with the cottage below. A little silver, a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. In that bright land, oh man, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. I'm so looking forward to the sing next week, amen. Just singing the songs. Hey, listen, you show me a happy, you know, Pastor Donald, you show me a happy youth group. You show me a youth group that's on fire with the Spirit of God, I'll show you a youth group that sings. Show me a church that sings. And I'll show you one where strife, division, and carnality are not welcome. Why? We're singing about the King of Kings. Amen. Down from His glory. Well, you could go on and on. All the songs. And that's why, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't make any apologies for promoting the CD of the month. It will help you in your spirit. It will encourage you. It'll take you when you're having a down day, when things are not going your way, when it seems that God is asleep, and you'll listen to a song like we've heard on the CD of the month, heard so many great ones. You're not alone. Jesus is with you. He said He always would abide. I want to tell you, in my darkest hours, it was singing that helped me. That helped me. The house rule, singing. Do me a favor, go if you would, go to 1 Samuel 16. David knew something about this here. Hold your place there, Psalm 101. I'm thinking right now of songs that encourage my heart. There's a song that my friend Russ Tharp sings called We Believe. We believe in the Father. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Spirit. Though the earth be removed and time be no more, these truths are secure. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what. Good singing. What did David say in 1 Samuel chapter 16? 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look, if you would, at verse 14. Many of you know this passage, but some of you may not. Tonight it says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. By the way, evil spirits are still subject to the Lord's commands. Amen. They still have to obey Him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. By the way, that would be a great time to get on your knees and repent. Amen. Because this spirit had come from God because he was chastening his child. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is a cunning in playing, and a mighty and valiant man, and a man of war, and is prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. First house rule, you're going to be happy. I will sing. Listen, if you're saved, you've got something to sing about. You're eternally saved. Amen. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever shall endure. Whosoever will, 'tis life forevermore. Whosoever will, may come. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Oh, listen, if you're gonna live by David's house rules, you're gonna have that happy home, that happy life, that life that others say there's something different about you. I'll tell you, it's gonna, number one, you'll have to say, I will sing. I love going to Myers. I don't love going to Myers because it's Myers. I love going to Myers because a lot of our people work there, amen. I love going to Myers and I'm with my kids or I'm with my family and I'll be driving along in the cart here and I'm usually blowing donuts with the kids and amen, popping wheelies and all that. And invariably, Brother Boston, I'll do something like this. And I'll be going through the aisles and people will be looking at me and I'm whistling the great hymns that I know. I'm whistling those encouraging songs that we sing. Why? Listen, because if I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be a happy Christian, I'm going to have a happy home, I'm going to be a happy pastor, I will sing. Number one. That's number one house rule. I will sing. Number two. Look again, go back to Psalm 101. Not only will I sing. Number two. In verse 2. It says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, well, when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house. There's where we get our title, House Rules, amen. With a perfect heart. Not only I will sing, but number two here, it talks about there, I'll behave myself wisely in a perfect way and I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. Number two, not only I will sing, but number two, I will sprout. What does that mean, Pastor? I'm going to grow. I'm going to mature. I'm going to be becoming a more mature Christian. You know, we spent an 8-week series on growth, so I don't have to stay here too long. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, praise God, we had somebody birthed into the family of God right here this morning. Amen. But I want to tell you something about Jenny that was here. Jenny's a baby in Christ. Do you know I've learned this about babies? Babies are not mature. Babies need a lot of help. Physically, spiritually. I remember getting into a debate with people that quote unquote believe in abortion. Just call it what it is. It's aborticide. Amen. Just call it the murder. See, aborticide sounds too much like homicide or suicide. And so they call it abortion. Amen. I was talking to somebody and one of the arguments that they have is, well, you know, a baby is not viable. It's not. Listen, I know teenagers that aren't viable. They couldn't possibly live outside the womb without help, amen? That's a dumb argument, by the way. Listen to me. Babies, here's something I've learned about babies. Babies are not very mature. Babies are selfish. You know what Paul said to the church at Corinth? He said, I wanted to feed you with meat, but I got to feed you with milk. You know why? Because you're a bunch of babies, he said. Hey, may it not be said. If you've been, listen, you've been saved 5, 10, 15 years. May you not be a milk-fed Christian. Come on. Amen. You break out your own fork every day. Open up that Bible. Open up that devotional. Amen. And here's what you got to do. If you're going to grow, if you're going to mature, if you're going to sprout, the first thing you're going to have to do is eat. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, we learned this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Another thing about babies, you do not have to tell them how to eat. They do a great job all by themselves. I had the privilege to be there when little Caden was born, and I was in there. Miss Jen was still back in the back, and Tommy had little Caden, and Jen's mom was there, and they got that first bottle, amen. And I remember watching little Caden; he was just sitting there. And of course, I know they can't see very far; they got that goop in their eyes and stuff. Boy, they put that bottle next to his lip, and and I'm telling you, it was literally, it's like watching a meter go with the lights on, amen. Watching that bottle go, amen. He just went right. Didn't have to teach him how to eat. Hey, you know what? If you're going to grow, if you're going to sprout, you're going to have to eat. You're going to have to eat. And nobody needs to teach you how to do it. Listen, I understand. Listen, there, I'm for discipleship. I'm for helping people and encouraging people. But listen to me, you got to eat yourself. You got to open up this book and eat it. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34:8 says. But you know, something else that's essential to growth, not only eating, but exercising. Not only eating, but exercise. Boy, that one went over like a screen door on a submarine. Amen. Tell you what, everybody exercising. Hey, no. You're not going to properly grow unless you exercise, unless you stretch yourself. See, there's a lot of Christians that do a lot of eating, but they don't do a lot of spiritual exercise, which is sharing your faith, which is serving the Lord in the local church. Amen? Listen, if you're going to properly grow, David said, look, you want that happy life? You want that happy home? You want that happy church? You're going to have to sing. I will sing. Then he said this, I will sprout. And if you're going to sprout, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to eat. You're going to have to get in this book and eat. And you're going to have to exercise. Amen. You're going to have to serve the Lord. God did not save you to take up 24 or 36 or 48 inches of pew. He saved you to serve. Amen. Exercise. Eat. I will sprout. I will sing. Number three, not popular, but still Bible. Verse number 3-5. Look at them with me. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. I will sing. First house rule. I will sprout. Second house rule. Number three, third house rule. I will separate. I will separate. First thing we see there is in verse 3, I will separate from wicked works. Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I've mentioned this so many times. I hate to be redundant. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of the verses that just absolutely the Holy Spirit used for me not to go to the movie house anymore. This verse right here, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I have a good preacher friend of mine. He has this carved over his television. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Boy, that was a weak amen there, but it's still good. Amen. He said, I'm separating from wicked works. I'm just not going to partake. I'm not going to put wicked things. And listen, Satan has working overtime. He's working overtime with our young people, with our middle-aged people, to set wicked things before our eyes. And I want to tell you something. Satan has done more in the last 50 years to the institution of marriage through that principle alone. If God's people would just take that and say, you know what? I'm separating from wicked works. I'm not setting wicked things before mine eyes. We'd all be the better for it. Said, I'm separating from wicked works. I've had, for the first time in 15 years, when Mom moved here, we got cable. And one of the first things I did, Brother Horace, was I blocked every filthy channel that's on there. Blocked them all. Can't look at them. Can't see them. You have to code in and do all this kind of stuff. Praise God. Amen. I'm not going anywhere near them. Not doing it. Amen. Why? Listen. It takes one look. One look to ruin my marriage. To ruin my ministry as your pastor, to ruin my fatherhood of my children, to ruin friendships that I've spent my Christian life building. I think I'd rather stick with the Bible and say, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. No, sir. Not worth it. Not a fair deal. Amen. Boy, it'd be great, young people, if you'd take this verse and make this a house rule for you.
I'm just not doing it. It doesn't matter if mom or dad is there, because the Holy Spirit's there all the time. I'll separate from wicked works. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says there, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. So not only I will separate from wicked works, but I will separate from wicked workers. Wicked workers. Listen, that person that claims to be your friend, that's always trying to get you to do the wrong thing, you know what you need to do? Listen to me, in love. You need to tell them where you stand. You need to tell them who you love, and that's Jesus. And if they're not going to stand there with them, you need to separate from them. Because no matter how you try, you will not pull them up 99% of the time. They will pull you down. Early on in my Christian life, Brother Boston, I learned that. As I had to make the difficult decision. And by the way, usually the Lord will help you make it. Usually when you take that stand and tell them what you stand for, they separate from you. Because your very presence makes them uncomfortable. You've heard me tell the story, and it's a great story. Brother David Gibbs, who is one of our missionaries, we love the CLA, amen, a great, great missionary. Brother Gibbs had mentioned that there was a man that he was representing, that every week, every day on lunch, he would sit there with his sandwich and his coffee, and he just had a little New Testament, and he'd read that little New Testament. And all around him, folks are playing cards and reading pornography and cussing and doing all that stuff. And there he is, just simply quietly reading his New Testament. And you know what? They went to the boss and said, that bothers us. Well, of course it does. It sure should. Amen. And I remember Brother Gibbs telling the story that he called them and they said, if you come back with that New Testament and you open it up tomorrow, we're going to fire you. Imagine that. That's America. And he called Brother Gibbs and he said to Brother Gibbs, he said, Brother Gibbs, they said they're going to fire me. And he said, I need this job. I got a really sick wife and I need the insurance. And Brother Gibbs said, listen, you do whatever you feel is you need to do and I'll support you either way. If you don't bring the New Testament tomorrow, I'll understand. He called Brother Gibbs the next day and he said, Brother Gibbs, I didn't bring the New Testament to lunch. And he said, Brother Gibbs said, well, I understand. He said, I figured I'd be too ashamed to pull it out of my pocket, so I brought the family Bible. I like it. I like it. And he said, and I opened it up, and he said, and you know what? They fired me. And not too long after, he called Brother Gibbs back and said, Brother Gibbs, they said I can read the Bible and preach if you'll just stop suing them. Hey, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's high time as Christians that we took a stand and said, I'm not only going to separate from wicked works, but I'm going to separate from wicked workers. People that have no intention. Listen, you can still love them. You can still pray for them. Amen. But you just can't hang out with them. Wicked works, wicked workers. Huh. Psalm 101 verse 5. Look at it. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Separate from wicked works. Separate from wicked workers. Separate from wicked words. Listen, do you know why some people come to some people to gossip? Because they always listen. You know, let me just... Easiest way. Keep from gossiping. There's two easy ways. One is when the person comes to you and they start saying it, you can very nicely, quietly, and calmly say, I'm not a garbage can. That'll work every time, amen, as they go like this, amen. But the other time when they come to you and they said, you know, I want you to pray with me about so and so. That's the covert way of gossiping. You know what you do? You say, hang on, let's call them. And we can all pray together. Amen? It's high time we started separating from wicked words. Hey, the tongue is still set on fire of hell, ladies and gentlemen. James tells us. Let's separate. I will separate. I will sprout. I will sing. Lastly, and I love this one. I was telling Brother Horst this. Brother Horst gets previews sometimes because we have good fellowship in the office. And he stops in. And I was telling him about this message. And I said, this last point really got me. Got me. Look at verse number 6. It says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the Lamb, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. I will sing. I will sprout. I will separate. And then lastly, I will see. I will see. And who does David want to see here? He says in verse 6, he says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful. Can I let you into my heart a little bit? But you know, sometimes Sunday mornings are very discouraging for a pastor. And sometimes it's a monster, Brother Holy, of our own making. Because the Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, I have the same problem that you do, and that is fighting against stinking thinking. And instead of looking out and seeing Lowell and Pat, and seeing Mr. and Mrs. Stevens, and seeing Brother and Sister Boston, and seeing Brother and Sister Merrill, and seeing Brother Horst, and seeing Brother and Sister Leonard, and seeing Lem and Katie, and seeing Brother and Mrs. Becker, and seeing Pastor Donald, and Brother and Sister Hendershot, and Miss Marissa, you know who I see? People that aren't here. But you know what? If I'm going to have a happy home, if I'm going to have house rules, if this year has taught me anything, I will see the faithful. The people that are here and that are with me as their pastor and that love their pastor and pray for their pastor and love one another. Hey, I'm not going to look at those that are unfaithful. Certainly, young Christians, I want to try to reach them. I want to try to reach out to them. I want to get them into the fold. But bless God, I'm going to look upon the faithful. There's a lot of you here that are faithful. And you just hear every time the door squeaks. Not only will I see the faithful, I just mentioned it so I'll not dwell long. I'll not only see the faithful, but I'll see the praiseful. Hey, stop. I'm preaching to myself here, but you can get some of this too. Stop looking at the negatives. Start looking at some positives. Stop listing your burdens and start counting your blessings. Because, boy, we got a lot of them. You know, I read missionary letters, and when I do, I'm absolutely amazed what a crybaby I am. Like, just me. That's okay. You could say amen. I won't get offended. Amen. I said I'm a crybaby when I read our missionary letters because I sure have got it good. God's been good to me. I'll look upon the faithful. I will see the faithful. I'll see the praiseful. You know what else I'll see as your pastor? I'll see the potential. I'll see the potential. I had a great conversation recently with Will and Teal Benches. You know, they of course were coming to our church for a long time and they made things right, got married, amen, did things right, amen. And well, listen, we encouraged that kind of thing. And then they wanted to join our church and I said to him, I said, Will, I see great potential in your life. He said, what do you mean, Pastor? And I say, well, you remind me a lot of me. When I was 23 years old, I just got saved and didn't really know how to serve the Lord, but I wanted to. Amen. My pastor began to help me along and I asked Will, I said, Will, would you help out during game time for Truth Trackers? I said, I think that's something God would really bless you in. I think you'd get a burden for those kids. He said, well, I'd like to pray about it. Would you? And the next day he sent me a message and said, Pastor, I'd be honored to do that. You know why? I see potential. You're here tonight, young people. Listen, you're here as a senior. I see potential in you. I see great potential in you. And here's the thing. If I'm not careful, I'll see problems instead of potential. So what did he say? He said, I'll see. You want to have a happy home? You want to have a happy life? You want to have a happy church? Here's some house rules. I will sing. Hey, we've got something to sing about, folks. You may not sing well, but you can sing for God. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Not only will I sing, but I will sprout. And if you're going to sprout, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to eat. Listen, you can't talk about reading the Bible. You got to read the Bible. You can't talk about studying the Bible. Talking about studying the Bible is not studying the Bible. You're going to have to study the Bible. Amen. You're going to have to eat, but you're going to have to exercise. You're going to have to use those spiritual gifts that God gives you within the body. Amen. You're going to have to share your faith. Amen. You're going to have to eat and exercise if you're going to sprout. I will sing. I will sprout. I will separate from wicked works. Amen. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eye. I'll separate from wicked workers, those that do iniquity. I'll separate from wicked words. I'm not going to hear gossip and slander and all this other junk. Amen. If I'm going to have a happy house, I'm going to have to separate. I will sing. I will sprout. I will separate and I will see. I'll see the faithful. I'll see the praiseful. And I'll see the potential. Hey, listen, you keep these house rules. Hey, we know this. There's a whole bunch more house rules in here. Amen. That can help you to have that abundant life. But I'll tell you what, you start with these four. And happiness is right around the corner. Father, bless in our message tonight.